This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Happy NFL schedule release day to all who celebrate. Welcome into the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. Michael Lombardi and Stormy Bonantoni with you. And Michael, get ready for the social media videos. This is the social media team's Super Bowl around the NFL. I feel like we're going to get some good stuff tonight.
You think so? I'm excited for it. You know, I really am. I love how they tease you a little bit with these little nibbles that come out and, you know, we start to find out about the games. But look, I think to me, as a betting network and bettors, I think we have to really take a different look than just, oh, what a great show it's going to be on TV. Is because within the schedule, Stormy, there are certain elements that you have to be aware of that are concerning for teams. Like, let's take Seattle, for example. Mike McDonald, new coach, they play the North this year. Well, you know, the Detroit Lions have no familiarity at all with the Baltimore Ravens and McDonald's defense. So, and it's all going to be new. So if they play them early, Seattle could gain advantage against Detroit. And I think you have to kind of look at some of those things. Where can you gain an advantage? When do you want to play a team that's kind of coming together? When do you want to play a young quarterback? Last year, Jordan Love was really good. Well, it wasn't very good at the beginning of the year. Remember the Raiders game? He throws three interceptions. At the end of the year, he's dynamic. I think that's what's the fun part about the schedule.
Yeah, you're looking at all those things. You're looking for when you're going to have a short week, when you've got the cross-country travel as well, and the international games, which we found out all five of them coming into this. They're all going to be on NFL Network with the exception of that first game in Sao Paulo, which we already knew about, which is going to be exclusively broadcast on Peacock. The Eagles, 1.5-point favorite against the Packers there. Three games in London. The Jets, a 3.5-point favorite against the Vikings, total 44.5. Jags and Bears. The Bears, a 0.5-point favorite, total 47.5. Patriots, Jags, over under sitting at 43. And then one game in Munich, Germany. And you're going to need all the Heffenweisen and Pilsner to get through that one. Giants, Panthers, G-men laying a 0.5-point, total 42.5.
I think the Germans will be happy just to have a game. I don't think they care. I think, you know, and I don't think it's due to the beer. I think they just like football. I'm shocked when I saw this today when Elliot sent the rundown that the Bears are actually, you know, that it's basically a pick 'em against the Jags on a neutral site where the Jags are very comfortable in London. I mean, they're very comfortable. And then the next week, they're a 6-point favorite against the Patriots. I mean, this is kind of interesting how this has been handicapped. You know, the Bears, obviously, based on the bookmaker's handicap, is viewed as a pretty damn good team, right? Because the Bears would be a 6-point, maybe a 6-point favorite, a 6.5-point favorite against the Patriots. Is that even possible?
Well, Michael, it just depends on the health and if Trevor Lawrence is going to be this turnover prone individual that we've seen this past year or not. Like, what version of the Jaguars are we going to get? They're also going to have that comfort level of staying out in London, too, which I would imagine is a positive for a team, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, anytime you get used to, and they've been there before, right? So they know the landscape, they know where they stay. You know, now they just passed this whole, they agreed with the city of Jacksonville for funding for a new stadium and upgrades and all that. So the threat of moving to London no longer exists. That was going to be a realistic opportunity or a conversation, let's say, had they not gotten that passed by the city and the team. But yeah, you're right. I mean, they know the landscape. They know how to be over there. They get adjusted to the time. They're going to be over there 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. Because they'll probably leave, what, Monday, Tuesday of the week, practice over there, and then stay over there. So I think it gives you a distinctive advantage, especially if you have pretty good facilities and you're not, you know, and you're not in an area where your team is kind of have a lot of opportunity. The other thing it gets you to do is bond your team.
We talk about that potential home field because the Jags have been there so often. Could the Jets potentially have that in that game against the Vikings? I'm sure that they would have preferred to play that in a dome in Minnesota if that option was there instead of overseas. But considering how close New York is proximity-wise to London, do you think if the Jets are good at that point, it's week 5 that people are going to be excited about the franchise still and want to travel?
Oh, yeah, I definitely think so. And look, the Jets are, you know, they're going to start the season in San Francisco. And by the first week of October, they're going to be in London. They're going to cover some miles. And, you know, it'll be fascinating to see how they respond. And look, I think Minnesota to give up a home game is a concession unto itself. Because if I owned a dome team, I would never give up a home game. There's too much of an advantage in that dome that you gain because of the snap count, because of the crowd noise, all those things. It's a little bit like last night with the Garden. There's a distinct advantage in the Garden.
Because you mentioned the travel for the Jets, Michael, like, as soon as their schedule comes out tonight, that's going to be the first one that I'm looking at. Because you said it, week one, Sunday, yeah. Monday Night Football in San Francisco, cross-country travel, and you have to already relive the horror that was the Monday night season opener a year ago where Rodgers is out after four plays. Cross-country travel back home, short week, week two, and then you're overseas week five. Like, if we get to week five, let's just hope that we do. But opponents on paper, a bottom five schedule among the easier schedules that they have to play, but not my favorite start if I am a Jets fan by any means. When I see this news.
Right. And so, look, you know, in the first four games, we know they have one road game, and they'll probably keep them at home in week four before they have to go over to play there. So, you know, will they start the season with two on the road, or will they come home and then go on the road and come back? I mean, that's always interesting. We know Kansas City, based on what the schedule's been leaked, opens up their season with two home games, which is pretty kind of nice as you're kind of developing your team and getting it together. So, yeah, I think the month of September's schedule for the Jets is going to be fascinating. Are they going to go down to Miami? That's not an easy trip down there in the heat and humidity, right? I mean, that because one thing about playing Miami late in the year, in September, I think it has a residual effect on the next game because not only do you the humidity takes so much out of you, because you're not used to it, especially a team that can't simulate that humidity at practice, which you can't. I mean, we have humidity here in New Jersey, but nothing like South Florida. There's humidity in New England, but nothing like South Florida. But it zaps you, and you got to almost have a very passive week the next week to get your team ready to go play after the heat and humidity of dealing with whether it's Miami or Tampa or even Jacksonville. So I think that's a schedule. You're right to glue yourself right in on that one.
And that's why, too, Michael, as we talked about yesterday, the Bills are thanking their lucky stars that week two game Thursday night is at night in Miami, that they're not going to have to worry about it the same way that you normally would. We also saw the news today, according to Adam Schefter, Michael, that Netflix swooped in and they're going to broadcast the two Christmas Day games in the NFL this year and at least one holiday game each year through 2026 as part of a new deal with the NFL. I thought this tweet was funny. Warren Sharp tweeted, last year, Roger Goodell stuck the Chiefs' first playoff game on Peacock so all the Swifties would buy it. Ratings set a record. This year, Netflix is broadcasting both Christmas games and the Chiefs will be in one of those games. Goodell billing the Swifties for money and pay-per-view ratings. But my thing is, Michael, who doesn't already have Netflix at this point? Like, this is actually a good partner, I think, because everybody in the country has this. And if you don't have it, you steal it from your mom.
Seems like it. Yeah, but they've cut back on that. You know, they've kind of done a good job
limit
of
three,
back
limit
on
three.
Stealing your... Yeah, I mean, I still get an email like late in the night. Somebody in Oregon opened up your Netflix. I kind of know who that person is, right? I know who that person is.
You have a good
feeling.
Right? How is he still using your account? Yeah. That's amazing.
Well, you know, it's whatever I has, he thinks he has, which is to a degree very true. But yeah, I'm excited about Netflix. Look, you know, I think Black Friday on Amazon was a huge hit too, because I think Amazon loves that to be able to promote their website and to promote their selling. But look, I think Christmas Day games, and it's on a Wednesday, right? Aren't they on Wednesday?
Yep.
Is Christmas Day on Wednesday?
Correct.
So, you know, I mean, we're going to have football, Stormy, on Monday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Wednesday. I mean, and the only thing that's safe for now, based on the NFL, is the Mac, because they play on Tuesday.
Which I still feel so bad for them that is the situation. But hey, you got live football on your team on your TV every single day of the week, which is a pretty special thing now that we're getting to that time of year, which it's already approaching. Like, the off season is not even an off season in the NFL, as we talk about all the time. But meanwhile, we do have the NBA and NHL postseason going on. And last night in the NBA, what did you watch more of, Michael? Basketball or Scott Foster on your television screen? My goodness.
I watched Scott Foster and it was very annoying. It was very annoying. But he really, and they said it on the broadcast, I think he thinks people come to watch him. He's my version of Scott Novak. I mean, they both have Scotts. Maybe it's something with the first name. I don't know. But yeah, I thought it was. And they're correct their calls. And look, I can't get over. I listened to Tim Livingston, whistleblower, podcast years ago. Very good if you want to know about the gambling and the officiating that went on during that time. But Foster's predominantly in that video, in that documentary series on a podcast. And so every time I hear his name, I cringe. But look, I think the Knicks were exactly what we thought they were going to be last night. You know, they came out and played at a completely different level than everybody else.
And Jalen Brunson leading the way. He was awesome after scoring just 44 combined points the last two games, dealing with ankle foot injuries, led the way with 44 last night, 7 assists. He's got 5 40-point games this postseason, first player since Michael Jordan in 93 with 5 in an 8-game playoff span. And then Minnesota, Michael, like a cookie and milk, they crumble. From 0-2 on the road in Denver, Minnesota has this lead. They have all the opportunity in the world to just put your foot on the neck. Cannot do it. Denver reels off 3 straight wins. And they go, Michael, from yesterday, a minus 165 favorite Denver, to now minus 450 in the series.
Yeah, I mean, there was a time to get Denver, right? And maybe
they were
Minnesota,
5-1 down 0-2, defense, I think.
I know, but the defense here is really, I mean, look, and I think Anthony Edwards said it on after the game. He said, look, we're playing good defense. It's just Jokic is really good. You know, it's really, he's just too damn good. And I get that. I mean, there's sometimes he does stuff that you can't believe, but, you know, they had their opportunity. But if you don't, you know, when you're up two and you can't win a home game, you know, and this game they held the Nuggets to 48% shooting. Last game it was 51.
Yeah. We'll talk more hoops a little bit later, but Jokic certainly proved he's the best player in the world, and Rudy Gobert proved that he's not the best defensive player in the league. That was clear. We're going to hit the break. When we come back, we return to looking at NFL teams with the easiest and most difficult strength of schedules ahead of the release tonight. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you haven't already, make sure you check out VSiN.com this time of year. Best bets each and every day, taking you through everything you need to know in the NBA and NHL postseason. We've got daily best bets in Major League Baseball, the Preakness coming up this weekend, the PGA Championship ahead of you. Your one-stop shop to everything you need, available now at VSiN.com. And Michael, just real quickly, because we only got to talk for a minute or two about the NBA games that we saw last night. Of course, the Knicks get it done. The Nuggets get it done yesterday. What was your biggest takeaway from what you saw last night?
Well, I think, you know, last week you asked me, or someone asked me about, are the Nuggets still in on a why not Wednesday? And I said, you know, no, I wouldn't take their number because they look like a tired team. Mm. And for them to come back and win 3 in a row and have the heart of a champion, which we knew they had. But the thing that shocks me, Stormy, more than anything, is we've heard nothing but Minnesota's defense being elite all year long. And it was. And you can't deny the numbers. But, you know, Jokic goes 15 for 22 from the floor. They shoot 55%. Last game, they shot 51%. Now they're up to 55%. I mean, the defense is getting worse for Minnesota, not better.
Yeah.
And that's a telltale sign, right? And they're getting production out of Braun off the bench. Remember, the first two games, they got no production off the bench, right? And Holiday and Braun gave them some production. And even though we know Murray's not healthy, we had Vic Lombardi on last week talking about Murray's injury, but Murray is kind of fighting through it all, and Jokic is carrying him, and Aaron Gordon's played really well for them. I mean, Michael Porter in the last two games really hasn't shot well. He's been the only reason why they've been below 60% shooting. He was 2 for 10.
And to go back to Jokic, 40 points, 13 assists, 7 rebounds, 0 turnovers. The dude is a cheat code. He's the MVP for a reason. And he was unstoppable even by the 4-time defensive player of the year in Rudy Gobert. Jokic was 8 of 9 directly against Gobert. On the 19 plays that he was defending Jokic, the Nuggets from the field were 13 of 17 with just 1 turnover. And he essentially gave up. The updated series price now, Denver laying 450, where to your point, they were 5-1 when they were down 0-2 in the series, losing both of those games at home to Minnesota. Minnesota now goes from a $7 favorite to plus 350 in the series price. And then the Knicks yesterday, who win 121-91 to cover as a short favorite. The total in that one stayed under the 216.5. They take a 3-2 series lead, one win away from their first conference finals appearance since 2000. They're getting five in Indiana on Friday. They get the extra day of rest because Caitlin Clark and the Fever get the arena. Knicks series price yesterday was even money. Now they're a minus 270 favorite.
You know, look, I think we make way too much about, you know, they're tired and all that. Yes, they are. They're certainly their rotations. I mean, Alex Burke comes off the bench, plays 23 minutes. I know the game was out of hand, but he's 5 for 8 from the three-point line. You know, he got 5 rebounds. They dominated the glass. They dominated the glass. And the one thing about this mentally tough New York Knicks team led by Coach Thibodeau is that they're resilient. I mean, they had every opportunity to win game three. This could have been over by now, you know, and they let that one slip away. And then they had the bad outing in Indiana. I'd be shocked if they didn't play their best game of the series on Friday night with the extra day rest. And with this, and moving McBride into the starting lineup to give them more spacing and give them an opportunity to take some of the heat off of Brunson in terms of the, I thought he was magnificent when he got doubled. And McBride was really good shooting. I mean, I know he was 7 for 15, but he's a weapon and you've got to defend him. Look, they win the game handily, and DeVincenzo's 0 for 6 from the 3-point line.
Michael, you talk about Brunson getting doubled. Still unstoppable. He generated 62 out of those 121 points. 51 of their offense came through Jalen Brunson. And it's like, even when there's no open lane, he finds a way to make something happen at the rim. As for the Pacers, 18 turnovers for them. And their head coach, Rick Carlisle, was none too pleased. Here's him after the game.
Very poor effort, obviously. Lost every quarter. Got annihilated on loose balls and rebounds, gave up 20 offensive rebounds and 29 more shots. So we all own it, but very embarrassing. Very embarrassing and a hard lesson.
And especially coming after the game that they had previously at home where you thought that maybe the momentum had shifted, it hadn't.
Yeah. I think, you know, one thing about mentally tough teams, the momentum might be at the game, but it isn't going to be able to extend to the next game. And playing in front of that Garden crowd, you just knew yesterday that the Knicks were going to be a tough out. I mean, I know Carlisle's disappointed in his team. I understand that, and he has every right to be. But he knew that was going to be a hard game. He knew that because anytime you put a team with mental toughness back in a corner, they're going to charge out of it quickly. Mm-hmm. And I think you have to be able to understand that. You have to be able to appreciate that and then raise your level. One of the challenges in coaching a lot of young players who've never been here before is that every game your level has to go up. You know, in December, your rookies have to play better than they did in September in football. And I think that's the hard thing to do. Look, you know, maybe through all this injury, maybe we've been kidding a lot when you were gone last week about Alex Burke. He took one shot in the game and they pulled him. Maybe he's found his seventh or eighth man to help him. Because one thing Burks can do, and I've seen Burke was a sixer, he can score when he's going.
Again, for the series price, Knicks now minus 270, Pacers plus 215 for the game coming up Friday. Pacers, a 5-point favorite, total 216. We also have two games coming up tonight. The Celtics, a 16-point home favorite as they try to close out the Cavaliers, and OKC laying 4 against the Mavs. But we'll discuss those games a little bit later. Last couple of minutes here, Michael, with the NFL schedule release also coming out later on tonight. We have on paper some strength of schedules as it pertains to the average win total of teams opposition this year, opposition's record from last year. And this is all going to change slightly once the actual order of games comes out because of a lot of the situations that we were talking about earlier in the show. But as of right now, the Steelers and Browns have the most difficult strength of schedules in terms of the Steelers being opposition win total this year, the Browns strength of schedule from a year ago in their opponent's record, the Patriots sitting there as the second hardest schedule.
Well, I think all the teams in the AFC North will have tough schedules because they're playing each other and it's the toughest division. Right now, to me, when I handicap the landscape of the NFL, the AFC North, you don't want to play that. Now, the NFC West plays that this year, which is, I think, going to add some more flavor to who gets who wins the West, because those are going to be hard games. And so this doesn't surprise me at all. I think when you're playing Pittsburgh, Cleveland, you know, Baltimore and Cincinnati all have all have good teams. Pittsburgh may not have an elite quarterback, and we're not sure about Cleveland's quarterback with Deshaun Watson, but the reality of it is we have a chance to really, you know, this is a tough one. And so I never buy into the strength of schedule as much, Stormy, because if you're getting ready to play Cincinnati in October and Joe Burrow is not the quarterback, it's not the same game, right? Or if you're playing the Rams and Matthew Stafford isn't playing, it's not the same game. So injuries play such a huge factor in the strength of schedule. It's the divisions that you have to look at, like what team is playing a softer division from the NFC. We may get more teams from there, you know, and I think that's something you have to look at.
It is interesting because you mentioned that AFC North, the Steelers win total is 8.5. We talk so much about Mike Tomlin, and he's never had a losing season in Pittsburgh. Now looking at that number one strength of schedule challenge, you already knew the division going in, though, that it was going to be difficult. And they still won a lot of games last year that we didn't anticipate them to. And now they're going to be, on paper at least, more talented than they were a year ago. The Browns, their win total 8.5, and the Baltimore Ravens, they face 10 playoff teams from a year ago, more than any other club in the NFL, and their win total is still 11.5. As for the easiest strength of schedules right now, the Atlanta Falcons, Michael, who are the favorites in the NFC South, 32 of 32.
Oh boy. Just give them the title, Stormy. Just give it to them right now.
That's what I was going to say.
Will you please?
Regardless of which version of the schedule opposition that you're looking at, it's 32. It's tied at 31. So like, just give it to them, I guess. Right? Easy schedule, and you got your guy, and you got all the talent, and you got the new coaching staff.
Well, they play the NFC East, right? So you also have hired a head coach, Raheem Morris, who is familiar with the NFC because he comes from the NFC. Now you play the AFC West. So that means you're playing Kansas City, you're playing Mahomes, you're playing Justin Herbert. You're going to play Denver, which will be a hard game. I mean, those will be hard games for Atlanta, and those will be uncommon games for Atlanta, even though Raheem Morris was at the Rams. So look, I think this is going to come down to the real fundamental question about the Falcons is we all focus on the quarterbacking and the decision there is, are they any good on defense? Are we sure they're good on defense? Because when you look at their numbers and you look at their team, I'm not sure about that.
You'll also notice when you looked at that graphic, a huge disparity for the Jets. Their strength of schedule based on opponent win total average 29 of 32, but from opposition record last year, 12. Huge difference. The Saints, Jets, Bears, Chargers, and Falcons all considered with the easiest strength of schedules ahead of the release coming up tonight. We're going to hit the break when we come back. VSiN's own Adam Burke will join us, talk through all things VSiN.com.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
For a limited time here at VSiN, we are offering our annual subscription at an unbeatable price. Normally it's $240, but you can grab a subscription right now for just $199. Sign up today. We're also giving you an extra 2 months for free. So that's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day. All you need to do is use our promo code Lombardi. With VSiN Pro, you'll gain instant access to our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see who has the best win percentage and ROI. 19 hours of live programming each and every day, including expert breakdowns and in-game analysis, proven betting systems from professional handicappers, as well as our exclusive betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Head to vsin.com/subscribe. You'll get 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199. And again, use that promo code Lombardi, Lombardi. This is the Lombardi Line alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bond, and Tony with you. And excited to welcome into the program now, great friend of the show, like we do every Wednesday, Adam Burke, VSiN managing editor on the Progressive Guest Line, also host of Double Play, a baseball betting podcast. And we'll get to some of your baseball plays in a moment, Adam. But with the NFL schedule release coming out today, I know we at VSiN are going to have everybody covered on all bases. Might as well just throw the baseball pun in there too. How are we doing?
I'm good. It's busy. Very busy right now over at VSiN.com. And as you mentioned, the schedule release and, of course, leaks kind of coming out. We've got some official reports, some things that are kind of rumored. So I'm trying to get a head start on our content that we'll release here tonight over at the website. I will put out a specific article looking at week one. I've got a piece in there that I'm working on right now in terms of schedule highlights, the Christmas games, Thanksgiving games, international games, stuff like that. And then we'll also take a look at you know, anything that's happened in terms of season win totals, any adjustments that have been made to the numbers based on some of the travel situations. And I'm also going to, even though it's really, really early here, it's only May 15th, take a look at some survivor options as we kind of look from a helicopter view here for the upcoming season.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about Survivor. I think it's the hardest. Look, I think the millionth tournament's impossible. You have to be 71, 72% to win that, which is really a challenge. But I think Survivor is even harder. And especially when you look at the schedule and then you look at the teams, like if you're going to do this Survivor article, which I marvel that you're going to do it, what is the one team that you look at that you say you can get a lot of wins playing against them?
Oh, yeah, I think it's a good question. I mean, you know, which teams are really going to struggle here this season? And my partner, Mark Goldberg from Spooky Express, and I mean, we were in the top 15 in Survivor. We were among the last 15 remaining contestants, weren't able to take it home. But yeah, it's a very, very difficult thing to be sure. And, you know, we're looking forward to getting involved here this season as well. Look, I mean, I think the obvious team that you kind of look to is New England as a team that, you know, has a first year head coach in Jerod Mayo. You know, they've got questions at the quarterback position yet again, as they've had, you know, pretty much since Tom Brady left. And they're a team that, you know, plays in a really difficult division. They're going to get kind of beaten up in some of those division games. To me, that looks like a team that you would kind of actively want to try to go against. And I really wonder if Carolina will be that improved. I know Carolina was a team that a lot of people picked on last year, had a lot of good reasons to do so. I don't know that they're going to be that much better with Dave Canales now stepping in. You know, the talent on that roster is still lacking in a lot of ways. So I don't think that there are a lot of, you know, objectively bad teams in the NFL this season, but there will be some, I'm sure, that will emerge that we'll kind of try to pick on. And, you know, as I do some more of my research, you know, for that Survivor article, maybe I'll uncover it a couple more.
Yeah, Adam, credit where credit is due. You are one of the few in the proud that did make it far in Survivor last year. So, you know, we're going to be bugging you plenty when we get into the NFL season. As it pertains to tonight, though, when some of these lines are released, and I know DraftKings and a number of sports books release numbers basically immediately as fast as humanly possible to get them up. Are there opportunities to cash in and like to get ahead of a number if you're firing right away?
Yeah, you know, there's a handful of lines out there so far, and I'm pretty sure last year they had pretty much all 18 weeks posted shortly after the official schedule release came out. Look, for me, no, I'm not at that point in my preparation with the NFL season because I'm busy with baseball. You know, been doing horse racing stuff here. I'll have a Black Eyed Susan stakes preview today over at VSiN.com as well. You know, there's just too many other things that I'm kind of focused on right now. But for those that are ready to go and ready to fire away, yeah, if you're willing to tie your money up for, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 months, whatever the case may be, whenever that game is being played, yeah, I think there are definitely some opportunities to take a look at. To me, I think the better place to try and attack would be the season win total markets, because now you can see, you know, back-to-back travel weeks. You can see short weeks with Monday Night Football, short weeks with Thursday Night Football, stuff like that. So to me, I think the season win total markets are going to be attacked quite heavily here tonight, and understandably so. I think individual game betting can be tricky, to say the least, at this time of the year. But if you feel like you have edges, you have good numbers, you like some of the spots that are, you know, presented with the schedule release, sure, by all means. But again, that's kind of up to you, your bankroll management, you know, how liquid you want your bankroll to be, because again, you're going to have this money tied up for a long period of time.
Adam, we do a great job, and I urge everybody to sign up for the newsletter, sign up for the VSiN, use the promo code Lombardi to do so, to get the 14-month discount that we'll get on 12 months. You'll get 14. But let's talk about Valhalla and the PGA and what you bring. I know Matt Eumanns is really good in this area, and so is Wes Reynolds. What can they expect from the website when they join to learn about the PGA?
Yeah, and as you mentioned, a good time to sign up too, because our NFL betting guide comes out Thursday, June 27th. College football guide comes out Thursday, August 1st. So if you go ahead and get signed up now, you don't have to worry about doing that, you know, in the lead up to those two guides. So a good time to get signed up. Eumanns last night putting up a PGA championship piece with his best bets. Wes Reynolds with his very, very detailed write-up, as he has each and every week, but obviously a little more juice this week with it being a major tournament. Also, Long Shots, the latest episode of that, posted with Wes, Kelly Bidlin, and then also Matt Brown. We'll be doing kind of after the round sort of not only recaps, but also thoughts on maybe what's a good matchup play for the next day. Are there any in-tournament futures to bet to win the tournament, something like that? Maybe guys to miss the cut with live odds. Bill 80 will be compiling those from our golf experts. They'll be texting and emailing him some thoughts after each day there at Valhalla. And of course, you know, weather could be a factor here throughout the weekend. So who knows? We may even end up with a Monday finish here in this. But yeah, we'll have nightly updates and some additional best bets throughout the course of the tournament over at vsin.com.
And good to note as well, tomorrow on the Lombardi Line, Matt Eumanns will join us live and we'll get some of those thoughts on the air here. Adam Burke joining us, VSiN managing editor, also host of the Double Play podcast with DraftKings Network's podcast family. And 15-game slate today in Major League Baseball, a few games already in action right now. You have a write-up every single day on the website detailing your favorite plays in baseball. What do you have today?
Yeah, I will say this has been a tough week. You know, a lot of times I'll kind of start going through the card and stuff will just jump out at me. You know, I'll just see things and be able to write them up and, you know, get plays out quickly. The first 3 days of this week have been a bit of a struggle. I don't know if it's just these series matchups I don't particularly like. We have seen some bigger favorite roles in some of these series here as well. But I do have a couple of plays here today. I like the Yankees today taking on the Twins. And it's tough to go against an elite starting pitcher like Pablo Lopez from Minnesota, but the Yankees have an elite offense. They're second in WRC plus at 119, trailing only the Dodgers, where Shohei Ohtani is just setting the world on fire. And, you know, he's definitely helping their numbers quite a bit. Same thing with Mookie Betts, too. But the Yankees have been very good. They've drawn a lot of walks. They've avoided strikeouts. They hit for power. A lot of the things that you would look for in an offense. And even a guy like Lopez, as good as he is, could end up struggling a bit with that New York lineup. But I also like Marcus Stroman against the Twins tonight. The Twins are a very aggressive lineup. They don't walk very much. Stroman's had some control issues this season that I don't think are a really big factor here in this game against Minnesota. Also, the Twins want to elevate the baseball. They have the third lowest ground ball percentage in Major League Baseball, sixth highest fly ball percentage. They want to hit the ball in the air. That's difficult to do against a ground ball heavy guy like Stroman. So I think his control issues are kind of mitigated a little bit by the matchup. And also, he's very good at keeping the ball on the ground, which I think hurts Minnesota's offense quite a bit. So I think the Yankees in an underdog role here today are worth a play. I know it was plus 114 at DraftKings when I wrote it up, but you can find a little bit better out there in the market. And you can find some plus 120s or so if you happen to live in the Vegas area.
Yeah, and who doesn't love a plus money price when you can get it on a good team? Adam, you're awesome as always. Thanks so much for hanging out with us.
All right, have a good one, guys.
VSiN's Adam Burke. Thanks, Adam. Follow him on X at Skating Tripods. And Michael, the point that he made about the schedule release, too, I think is important. Like, if you are firing on some of these games, be aware that your money is going to be held up for a while. So are you comfortable from a bankroll standpoint with doing so?
Yeah, and I think, you know, yesterday I did Bill Simmons' podcast, and he wanted me to come on because he feels like the lines are going to shift a little bit once the schedule comes out. You know, will Seattle go to 8? Will they, you know, I mean, we've seen shifts, as you've mentioned before. Houston, I didn't realize this, but Houston in some markets shifted when they signed Diggs from 8.5 to 9.5. I don't know why, but their line was originally set at 8.5, which seemed low, but it went up to 9.5 once the Diggs signing got reported. I think if you like a number, like I like Seattle, I like Dallas under, those are the two I've written about on VSiN Online. I would play them because I think when this schedule comes out, we're going to see some movement in the numbers.
Yeah, and to your point about Houston, a lot of their numbers moved. Even the juice in the division went up a good chunk. Okay, you hear that music. That means we got to take a quick time out here. When we return on the Lombardi Line, buy or beware. There are numerous starting quarterbacks going into 2024 that are coming off significant injuries. Which QB1s we're backing and which you should be scared of. We'll discuss when we come back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Sound the trumpets. It's horse racing time, ladies and gentlemen. Saddle up for action with DK Horse, an official DraftKings affiliate right now. New customers who download the DK Horse app can get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250 when you use the promo code VSINHORSE. That's VSINHORSE, VSIN Horse, all one word. Just deposit $25 or more and complete the playthrough requirement. Rager on your favorite horses, then watch the races live right in the app. Download the DK Horse app now as we welcome you back to the Lombardi Line. We will have Harry Gagnon, former sportsbook supervisor, better host of the Against All Odds podcast. He's going to join us a little bit later on in hour two. And you know he's coming locked and loaded with Preakness picks. I need all the trifecta box content, Michael.
Will you tell people what you did yesterday? Can you make a confession here? Because yesterday was your first day back from your wonderful Alaska trip, which we missed you terribly. You came back and I accused you of having a teaser, thank you, Stormy, in your pocket, and you violently denied it. You said no, and you immediately, I was home maybe a half hour, you confessed to, you couldn't resist, although you didn't do the teaser, but you did do something.
Okay, yes, I was going to say, let's clarify. We can clear the air here. Yes, my thought process was...
Yes, clear the air.
I've been gone for a week. I probably shouldn't be firing on bets after just one day of getting prepped and getting back into stuff. But then I was like, you know what? I need a funny money sweat. Like, what fun is watching this game if I don't have a little action in it? And so I did end up betting Caitlin Clark over 6.5 assists, which was a bust of all busts. She also, like, bad bet, by the way, for all of the public that was betting her over on points, set at 20.5. She ends up having 20 there. But it was just, I just wanted something, and I wanted to root for her, and any other thing I probably would have taken an under on. But I said, no, I want to root for her. So I'm going to pick something I think that she can get the over on, and not close. So waste there. But we did cash the money line parlay I texted you on in the NBA. So that was a plus money one. We ended up being profitable on the day. So even with my just pizza money type of day one sweat action, we ended up winning money, and that's all that matters.
Perfect. See, I needed to get out there. The people needed to know that you were just not sitting on your hands, that you were just not going to let a great day in the betting world slip you by. And I appreciate you telling us that.
I really feel bad, though, that I lied to the people. I was like, you know what? I don't know much about the WNBA. I'm just going to sit back, watch, and learn. And no, I said I'm firing anyway. So there we go.
Well, but it proved your point, right? You bet just because you wanted to be engaged, and because you didn't know how badly that her team was around her, that she couldn't get into to get those assists you needed, because the players she's playing with, you know, they've been picking first in the draft for a reason, you know, exactly. Weren't good enough to get the ball in the basket when she dished it to them.
Yeah, the Sun are a team that are a year in, year out contender. The Fever are one of the worst teams in the league. And I think that's important to remember, too, that, I mean, Caitlin Clark, it was the first overall pick to that team for a reason, and they've had that pick a couple times now here. But we'll save some more of that talk for another day. The next time that they are in action, we'll see if she ultimately can bounce back, although the Liberty are going to be a tough test as well. We got plenty of NFL to discuss, Michael, because we came up with a fun segment today.
Yeah.
We're calling Buy or Beware. There are a number of starting quarterbacks around the National Football League that are coming off significant injuries. Let's go one by one here and see if this is a player and a team that, despite the injury, you are willing to buy in on in 2024. Starting with, we got to start with Kirk Cousins. Kirko, he's in the news each and every day with everything that happened in the draft. And of course, the big contract that he signed, had a season-ending torn Achilles week 8 last season with Minnesota, surgery in November. Over the weekend, Raheem Morris called him pretty much full go. And Cousins, in his availability yesterday, said he feels the best he's felt and everything is trending in the right direction. His passing yards prop set at 4,000.5, 27.5 the passing touchdowns market. The Falcons, we talked about him. High expectations, easy strength of schedule, 9.5 win total, and an odds-on favorite in the division. Buy or beware on Kirko?
I would beware. I mean, look, part of being able to achieve all these numbers is to have a kind of a connectivity to your team. And I think, to me, will they have that? Now, look, I know Zach Robinson is very familiar with what Kirk can do. But are we sure the Falcons are really good up front? Are we sure they're going to be able to protect him like they need to protect him? And are we sure their defense is good enough? And all those things kind of relate to where he can best benefit them. Like, I don't understand the Atlanta going from 7 wins to 9.5 on their over total. I don't see it, because if you study the numbers, they've done nothing to improve their defense. And their defense wasn't good enough. It's all perception. It's all about, we're just, because they think they're one player away, and they're blaming Arthur Smith for everything. So I would be leery of anything in the Atlanta vein and the Kirk Cousins vein, because A, I don't think they have a great home field advantage. You know, I think they're going to play some, they play the, you know, some teams that, you know, I know the strength of schedule doesn't look good, but the NFC South plays the East. So that means they're playing Dallas, they're playing Philly. Can they beat both of those teams? I don't know. Can they beat Washington? I think that would be a good game. Could they beat the Giants? Who knows? You know, and then they have to play the AFC West. We know the two teams that have a hard time beating would be the Chargers and the Chiefs. Can they beat the Raiders? Can they beat the Broncos? I don't think it's an easy schedule. I think it's an easy schedule based on the one loss percentage. But when you look at those teams and you look at the quarterbacks that you have to play, I'm not sure it's an easy schedule.
Sure. And also the thing from an injury standpoint with Kirk Cousins that could go one of two ways is that he hasn't really dealt with a significant injury in his 12-year career. So you could say, hey, that means he's a proven, durable guy. He'll recover fine, yada, yada, yada. Or you could take the other side of that and like, he's never dealt with this before. How is his body going to be able to handle this injury? How mentally is he going to handle this? If he's dropping back and guys are around his feet, is he going to try to get the ball out quickly? There are a lot of other things to this. You also think about like calf injuries that can happen after Achilles injuries. Those are very common. So that's a worry. And I think that calf injury or overcompensating on the other leg, that's another question you're going to have for Aaron Rodgers, who's coming off the same injury. Although because he suffered his so early, just four plays into week one, the debut with the Jets last year, he's had a lot more time to strengthen that and get back to where he's at. Buy or beware on Aaron Rodgers and the Jets.
Well, I think that, you know, this is an if play all the way because we know the Jets are ifers, right? We know that. But I do think if Rodgers plays 17, again, if is the caveat to every one of these categories, he will throw for over 3,800 yards, right? I think that would be the one I would look at. Now, I do think, and I know we haven't talked about this, but I think there is a little bit of some undercurrent within that building. We know that a report was leaked out that they wanted to get rid of Hackett, but they knew they couldn't. And they wanted to improve their offense, but they couldn't get somebody to come in a situation where that Hackett was going to stay on the staff. That's a really challenging thing. So there's people in the building that don't believe in Hackett. Rodgers does. And, you know, when you start the season, that looks really good. You don't think that's a problem. Well, everybody's on the same page. But once you lose, if you fly out to San Francisco and your offense can't move the ball, you're going to lose that on the same page. You're going to find out no one's aligned. That's what would scare me, because if you just look at Hackett's offenses, they have not been very good to achieve these kind of numbers and win the division.
Yeah, but to your point, that's Rodgers' guy, right? And again, like his health is going to be tied into a lot of other things outside of just his own. The offensive line that had 13 different combinations last year, you retool that line, but with guys that have health concerns as well. So yeah, a lot to think about. But 3,800 and a half the passing yards, 26 and a half the passing touchdowns number, Jets 9.5 win total. How about Joe Burrow? His season ended after 10 games last year, needed surgery to repair torn ligaments in his right wrist. Buy or beware on Burrow and the Bengals.
I would buy everything. I'm all in on the Bengals.
Okay.
And, you know, I think to me, I would buy this because I think he is going to play well. I like their team. Now, people are concerned. There's been a report that, you know, that have had this injury before with his wrist, that it you loses some of those calcium deposits and it's maybe not as strong and it could be prone to breaking again. That I don't know. But I do fully expect him to have a really good year. I think their team has improved, especially defensively. And with T. Higgins back to go along with Chase and the weapons they have, I think they're going to be very good.
Rapid fire, 20 seconds each. Deshaun Watson and the Browns, buy or beware?
Beware. I think there's no – I'm not sold that – and I love Deshaun coming out of college. I'm not sold that he can come back to his old form.
How about Daniel Jones and the Giants, buy or beware?
What do you think? Take a wild guess, Stormy, for me. Take a real wild one, huh?
Oh, beware, what do you think beware, I'm on that beware.
One? I can't wait for this. I can't wait for Hard Knocks off-season New York Giants. We're going to find out how they felt. Or are they going to tell us how they felt? Because remember, they were trading up for Joe Alt. They weren't trading up for a quarterback. I'm not buying that.
For anyone who hadn't seen the news, there's a 5-part series beginning on July 2nd that's an off-season new version of Hard Knocks, which I think specifically for this team will be so interesting that the Giants were the pick because of all of the talk that we've had about could Drew Locke be QB1 coming out of camp this year? We'll be right back on the Lombardi Line.